Now, remember, from Sunday, we have our fired up, zealot, young Christian. What's his name?
Bobby.
Come on, you got to know your brothers here. It's Bobby. Now, Bobby goes to work, and he sees this poor guy sitting all alone. And his name is what?
Esau.
Okay, now that's the ones we use. We use different ones with the teachers. But so Bobby goes up to Esau, and what does someone who wants to be like Jesus do? They want to reach out. They want to share their faith. So he goes up and he sits down with Esau, and he starts building a
friendship.
And they start hanging out, and he goes out and he wants to reach out to him, so he buys him a
Bible.
He scribes a meaningful thought. He goes, here, I want you to have this, and I want you to come to church with me. So Esau comes out to church, and he loves it.
Amen.
Never seen anything like it. So they set up a Bible study. Now, we got together, we studied the Bible, we did the Seeking God study, because Esau already had a faith in Jesus, right?
Yeah.
So we didn't go through the book of John. Now, if you do need to go through the book of John with someone, and someone just started doing that this week, you want to get together and have basically quiet times together. Go section by section through the book of John. Remember, it's an eyewitness account to give people faith in Jesus. Now, you don't want to go through it one day and wait a week to go through it again. You want to try to do this every day, every other day. The more continuity you can get with a person, the better. And you're going to just see the faith being built. So, we went ahead and dove in with the Seeking God study. Let's go ahead and dive in now with the Word study. Now, what do you do at the beginning of every study?
Pray.
You got to get into prayer. Why? You got to get God involved. You don't want to do this on your own power, because our own power is not going to get it done.
Nope.
It's God's Word and God's Spirit that's going to move in people's hearts.
Right.
So let's go ahead and start with a prayer tonight. Amen. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this chance to come together to get into Your Word. God, I thank You for everyone that's here in the audience. And I really pray for them, God, as they learn Your fundamental basic teachings, that they can not only know them for themselves, but God, they can feel strong and confident and equipped with knowing Your Word and knowing Your love to be able to go out and teach other people what they need to learn. Father God, I pray for everyone with their quizzes. God, that if they did well, hey, they can celebrate. If they didn't do well, God, that they can just commit to stronger, deeper study.
Yes.
Because these things are so important.
Right.
God, we pray for those who are sick and not with us tonight. We pray, God, for Sunday, for our Bring Your Neighbor Day.
Amen.
God, I pray we will have over 100 people
Amen.
Out on Sunday just to hear Your Word
yeah.
about discipleship. God, tonight, I just pray we'll be able to focus in, no matter what's going on, God, no matter what troubles, what worries, that we'll trust the Scripture from the Seeking God study,
yeah.
that we don't have to worry, because You know what we need.
Yeah, right.
We just have to seek You first.
Amen.
We love You, God. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so, when you get together for the next study, it's very important, once you talk a little bit, to go ahead and look at the guy studying, that's Esau, here, and say, now Esau, I want to ask you a question. Have you had a chance to look over the notes from the Seeking God study? You did? That's great. Now, what really stuck out to you as you looked over them? Well, gee, I really see that it is God that's working in my life. It's not by chance that I ran into Bobby at work, but God is reaching out to me. And that's exactly right. And what else? Well, I also realized going over those notes that I'm going to have to change a lot in my priorities. In the way I live day to day, I'm going to have to change a lot in order to seek God with all my heart. But I know that's what God wants me to do. That's exactly right. Let me encourage you. Every one of us, when we study the Bible, that's what we had to do. We had to change our priorities completely in order to put God first in our life. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and dive in. Now, again, you're going to trade off reading so that everyone stays involved. Everyone keeps their head in the game. Go ahead and turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And Bobby, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and read that scripture. But before you do, I want to ask a question. Esau, how long is this pen? And let's just pick somebody. Hi, Anthony, why don't you be Esau? Now, how long would you say that pen is?
Long.
Inches? How long?
Oh, in inches? Let's say 6 inches.
Okay, 6 inches. Bobby. Well, you'd be Bobby to me. How long do you think that is?
Probably about 7 or 8 inches.
Okay. I think that's about a foot and a half long. Okay, so what's the point? We got three different opinions of how long this thing is. And we can sit here and argue, but as far as I'm concerned, my opinion is just as good as your opinion. Until what?
You measure it.
We don't have to sit here and argue. Get out a ruler, and you find out exactly how long that pen is. And listen, Esau, that's what the Bible is. The Bible is a ruler. You have so many opinions about how we ought to live our life, but we're going to get now into the Word of God. And we're going to study about what the Word of God is. Let me tell you, it is the standard. It is the ruler with which we need to measure our lives.
Right.
2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read verse 16. Bobby, why don't you read that first? Okay, you got it. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wow, Bobby, that was a zealous reading of that scripture. That was awesome. And you know, that reminds me of a real good point. When you lead a study with someone, or you're in a study, or you're asked to read a scripture, or take notes for someone, what's important? It's important that you're in good spiritual shape. That you're not boring with the way you read the scriptures. That you're not boring with the way you teach the scriptures. Because the scriptures aren't boring. But if you're tired, if you had a long day, and maybe the room is a little hot, like it is right now, it's easy to zone out. But that doesn't give justice to God's Word. And it doesn't give justice to the soul that's having a chance to hear this one time about His Word. Amen?
Amen.
And speaking of taking notes, you know, sometimes you might be tempted to go ahead and write out all the notes and bring them into the study so it's already done. I want to encourage you not to do that. I want to encourage you to bring your notepad, bring your pen, and whether you're taking the notes or Bobby's taking the notes for Esau, then you just write down your name, write the date down, put the scripture, and jot down the key, concise points for each scripture. And then you give it to a man. When they see, he's writing these things down from memory. People are impressed.
Blow away.
That you know the Word of God.
Yeah. Come on.
How many of you grew up going to church? And you grew up going to church where people do not know
exactly the
Word of God. So, very important. So, Bobby, wait. Way to read that scripture. That was awesome. Let's dive in. All scripture is what? What do you see here when you read this scripture, Esau? Well, I see it's all inspired of God. That's exactly right. But what do you think that means? Well, it says it's God breathed from the very lips of God. As we're reading this, this isn't some person's ideas. Your opinion. My opinion. This is God's Word. Now, one thing about God's Word is, it is practical.
Oh, yeah.
See, you can grow up reading the Bible, having the Bible. A lot of people have Bibles, but they never really study them, much less apply them to their life. Here it says it's useful. What's it used for? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training you in righteousness. Now, I usually use an analogy here. I say, Esau, you have a toothbrush? Oh, yeah, of course I have a toothbrush. Awesome. Your toothbrush is useful if you use it. What if you don't use it?
Oh, boy.
Oh. Well, you guys aren't going to want to sit very close to me in this study. That's exactly right. See, guys, the Bible's useful. It's useful for teaching us, correcting us, training us in righteousness. But it's only useful if what?
If you use it.
It's got to be a useful tool. So we're going to apply the Scriptures tonight and apply them to our lives. Go ahead and look over Hebrews chapter 4. Okay. Pat, can you do anything about that? Air? Hebrews chapter 4, Esau, why don't you go ahead and read this one? So again, you just want to trade that reading around. Verse 12 and 13. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm almost ready. I was in the wrong book. Okay. It says here, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." You know, so many times people think the Bible's outdated. It was written thousands of years ago. How are we going to use this in 2006? But what does it say here, Esau? Does it say the Bible is dead and inactive? No, it says it's living and active. What does that mean? It means it's alive. And I love to talk about this point here, because what it says about the Bible is that it's like a double-edged sword, and it cuts to the heart. You know, a lot of times people say, "Hey, watch out, preacher. You know, you're stepping on my toes here with the stuff you're saying." Well, my response would be, "Well, I wasn't aiming for your toes. I was aiming for your heart." You know, because that's where the Bible cuts to. It cuts to the heart. And that's the reason it's still applicable today. We may have different clothes than they did back in Bible days. We may have different transportation, different buildings and structure. But guess what's the same?
Our hearts.
They're the very same hearts from thousands of years ago. The same hatred, the same selfishness, same anger, the same love, the same hearts. And the Bible gets right into the heart. That's why it's living and active today. A lot of times I'll preach a sermon, and people afterwards will say, "Man, were you talking to me? You know, man, it's just like that guy followed me around all week. He was saying just exactly what was in my life." But it's not just one person that feels that way.
Yeah.
Sometimes somebody in the church goes, "Hey, did so-and-so tell you what I was going through?" No, the Bible is living and active. And it's applicable to our lives. And if you'll just get in it, man, it will show you exactly where you are.
Right.
Now, Esau, what do you think here about how it says the word cuts? Cuts to the heart. If you get cut, well, what happens? Well, it hurts. It hurts when you get cut. And that's absolutely true. Now, I love the analogy here about the word in a medical sense. It's like using a scalpel, right? That's a surgeon's very important tool, is a scalpel. You know, cut in there, but it's good because it'll cut in and it'll get the problem or the disease out. Now, someone comes up to me today, Esau, and they say, "Hey, how would you like to have some surgery tomorrow?" Well, I'm not too fired up about that, right? I don't like going to the doctor. I spent a lot of time in the hospital growing up. I don't like the doctor. Most of us don't even like going to the dentist. You know what I'm talking about? But let's say you got the news today, Esau, that you had cancer. And if you didn't get it out, you're going to die. But we can operate, and we're very confident we can get it all out and we can save your life. Would you like surgery? Absolutely.
Yeah.
How quickly can we get in there? You with me here?
Yeah.
Esau, that's exactly what the Bible does. It'll cut in there. But it'll get in and it'll cut out that garbage, that disease, which we call sin. That's in our hearts. And it'll get it out. Now, I gotta make this analogy, because it goes on to talk about Nothing will be hidden from God's sight, but everything will be uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we give an account. Now we got TV up here, right? What if I told you I was about to pop in Anthony Franklin? His life, I was going to put it right in, uncut, uncensored, and just turn it right on for everybody to watch. What if it was your life? How would you feel? You're not fired up? But Esau, be all those great things when you won Little League. Right? Remember that? Remember that bird, that Christmas when you were young and you got that awesome present? It'd all be on there. But that's not usually what people think about first when I bring up this analogy. It's so funny. Normally we think of the worst possible things.
That's right.
The things we wouldn't want, well, grandma in the front row when our life was played. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But see, one day we're going to stand before God and everything is going to be uncovered and laid bare. The amazing thing about the Bible, it will get in there now. If you, Esau, will let the Bible cut into your life, yes, it'll hurt, but it'll get that garbage out, and you will be able to live in such a different way that so many of those scenes from this day forward will never get on that tape.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can help them see, yes, it hurts, but it is good. It is awesome because it can totally change our life when we go by the Scriptures. Amen?
Yeah.
Look over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now I'll take my turn and read this one. And I'm not going to mention that again the rest of the study here. But again, you want to keep trading off in the Scriptures, get everybody involved, everybody reading. Challenge is good.
Come on.
That way when they get in there and start reading it, and it challenges them, they won't run away. If they can understand this is a good thing because it will help my life. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. It says here, above all. Now, Esau, look at those words. Maybe you didn't get anything else up to here, but above all. Right, you need to listen to this. You must understand. Look at these words. No prophecy of Scripture came about by a prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's a very important scripture. You know, a lot of times people bring up, well, that's your interpretation of the scripture, right? And so we want to talk here about interpretation. Because the Bible is very clear here that no prophecy of scripture had its origin in the will of man, but men were carried along by God's Spirit. And so, it's kind of like you. You're taking notes right there, right, Bobby? But Esau, is it Bobby writing those notes or the pen writing those notes? Well, come on. Dude, it's Bobby. Right. So, did the prophets write down the scriptures or was it God writing down the scriptures? See, God used men as we would use a pen to write down these scriptures. But they were inspired by God. And I say, one way we know that, I love this example as well. Isaiah wrote, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now imagine you're Isaiah. Esau. Another good Old Testament name. Isaiah. It's like Esau. Imagine you're him and you're writing down and the virgin will be with child. No, that can't be right. See what I'm saying? If Isaiah would put in his interpretation, he'd have never written that down. How can our brains even comprehend that? But he wrote it because they wrote what God commanded them to write.
Amen. Come on.
Wasn't left up to their interpretation. Now, it's important to understand here, Esau, every scripture has a purpose. Every scripture has an intent from God. And there's no private interpretation of the Bible. Now listen, nobody has the full monopoly on the perfect right interpretation of Scriptures. I'm not claiming I do. But I am saying this. When I read the Scriptures, and I'm challenging you, Esau, when you read the Scriptures, we don't read them in order to fit them into our life. But if this is truly God's Word, We want to read them and go, hey, how does my life fit into the Scriptures?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And rather than taking the Scripture and making it fit so that we can live the way we want, our heart needs to be, what is God trying to say to me here? And whatever it is, then that's how I want to live.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen?
The Holy Spirit inspired these men who wrote the Bible. Now, there may be some questions as you go through the study, and you can answer questions here and there, but you don't want to get too bogged down. Right? You can always answer those later, and a lot of times the other studies will answer questions, so you want to keep moving. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31. This is a very famous passage of Scripture. It says here, to the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, if you hold to My teaching, you're really My disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Some of you can just hear Martin Luther King cranking that one out there. Very famous. The truth will set you free. Wasn't it cool to know Jesus said it first? Amen?
Yeah.
Long time before He said it. Now Esau, who is Jesus speaking to in this passage? Very important. Well, He's talking to Jews. Well, no, more specifically. Who's He talking to? To the Jews who believed Him. Okay? So He's talking to not just a group of people that aren't sure about this guy. Jesus is talking to a group of people that believe Him and that believe who He is. And it's very important to understand that because Jesus makes this point. What does He say here? He says, if you hold to My teaching, you're really My disciples. Then you'll know the truth. And the truth sets you free. What does it mean to hold to His teachings, Esau? Well, it means you've got to obey them. That's exactly right. And I want to make a point here with you that belief is not enough. These people believed. But Jesus is saying here, you've got to hold to My teaching. Then you're really My disciples and you'll know the truth. Intellectual belief is not enough. Nor can we just go by our feelings when we live our life. See, the Bible needs to be the standard for our life, not our feelings. A lot of people, and maybe you, can relate, when we live our life according to our emotions, how's our life? It's like the roller coaster road trip we're going to go on with the campus and teens, right?
Yeah.
We're all over the place. You live by the Scriptures, man, it just sets a course for you. Our emotions go all over. In fact, if you were to read through the rest of this passage, Esau, by the end of this passage, these very same people who believe Jesus are trying to kill Him. You read it later in your quiet times. What changed in this one chapter that would make them go from believing Him to wanting to kill Him? Did His teaching change? No. What changed? Their emotions. That's exactly right. So we can't live by our feelings, nor is intellectual belief enough. Everyone must hold to and follow the teachings of Jesus to be a true disciple. And Esau, I want to make one more very important point here. Sincerity does not equal truth. A lot of people are very sincere about what they believe. And if you're studying with someone who's very sincere and you question their sincerity, you can blow it every time. It's not about questioning someone's sincerity, but it's helping someone understand sincere doesn't mean it's the truth. Any football fans here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Come on, bro.
Yeah. I know the Bears are doing pretty good, right?
Yeah.
But I have to admit, the Bears aren't my team. Now, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon because it's fun. But my team, I grew up in East Texas. I'm a Cowboy fan.
Oh.
I can't help it.
Repent.
That's okay. You pray for me. You're a Packer fan. Oh. Talk.
Oh. Oh. Yeah, man.
What are they? Anyway.
All right.
Maybe you've been watching football, and you see your team, and they're right on the goal line. Right? And they're about to score, and they hand the ball off, and the running back goes up in the air, and you see him cross the line. You know it's a touchdown. You're fired up. But the stinking referee's not raising his hands. What's wrong with this idiot?
Come on.
I saw it. He scored a touchdown.
Been there.
they're like, no, they spot it like on the 1 inch. But you're like, what's wrong? And then they show the instant replay. And you were wrong. On the instant replay, it's so clear he did not make it in. He sincerely believed he did. Sincerity doesn't equal truth. A lot of people are very sincere. But religious people can be wrong.
That's right.
So, how are you going to know what's true? You hold to the teachings. You obey the scriptures. Then you know the truth. Matthew chapter 15.
Come on, bro.
Let's keep it moving here. Now, this one requires a little bit of digging in. Okay? This scripture really requires you to explain very clearly the person you're studying with, and that means you have to understand it yourself. Okay? But in this one, you know, before we talked about how feelings can take us off from the standard of the Word, how we can be tempted to make our feelings our measuring stick rather than what the Bible says. Well, this is another one. It's about traditions. You know, a lot of times we're tempted to make our traditions, how we were raised, kind of the measuring stick for how we're doing. The Bible needs to be the standard. The Bible is what is from God. Okay, let's read in this chapter here, Matthew 15, starting verse 1. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem, and they asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "Why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say, 'If a man said to his father or mother, whatever help I might otherwise have received from me is now a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father with it.' Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right about you when he prophesied, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, but their teachings are but rules taught by men.'" Okay, this is pretty deep here. And so Esau, I want to jump in here and explain this. Back in these days, of course, they had the scriptures. They had the Old Testament scriptures. But what they do is they'd also write down a lot of other teachings and traditions on top of the scriptures. They were traditions of the elders outside of the Bible. And I'm sure there were a lot of good intentions when they wrote them down. They wrote these rules down, but they weren't Bible.
Right.
They were traditions of men going along with the Bible. Now, these guys come up to Jesus and they're like, "Hey, how come your guys aren't washing their hands?" Now, I got some news here. And I think, you know, some of you guys might be fired up. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, moms, that you got to wash your hands.
Right, man.
Isn't that awesome? That's right. So, however, maybe it is a tradition that your mom taught you, and maybe it'd be a good thing to do. But they're coming up to Jesus like, "How come you're breaking the tradition of the elders?" And they were. Jesus' guys were breaking the tradition of the elders. But Jesus turns it back around on them. He says, "How come you guys are breaking the command of God?
There you go.
For the sake of your tradition. Things you've written down that are not of God." And then he uses this very specific example, which is called Corban. That's important to understand this. Basically, you know, people have a child, they take care of that child. You grow old, child grows up, child takes care of the parents. With me?
Yep.
It's God's social security plan.
Yeah.
Right? That's how it's supposed to be. But there was a tradition of the elders where you could come forward and say, "Hey, mom or dad, whatever otherwise help monetarily that I would have given to you, it's now a gift devoted to God. And so I'm not going to take care of you." So I'm saying they give the money to God And then they wouldn't take care of their parents. And you come and you're giving all this money to the religious people. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you look religious. But you're nullifying the Word of God. You're not taking care of your parents. That's, you know, maybe they live for a long time. It's going to cost a lot of money. But that's what you're supposed to be doing. Very important here. And so, Jesus really challenges them. Even if it's a financial burden. Instead of giving just this one-time gift in the name of your father and mother, which is cheaper, right? No, you've got to take care of your family. That was the command of God. Now, there's two types of traditions. All traditions aren't bad, right? It's getting a chill in the air. Fall is here.
Come on, bro.
What does that mean? It means football. Amen?
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. It also means the holidays are coming.
Yeah.
It's Halloween, but hey, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I know the college students are like, amen.
Amen.
Because all the other folks can invite us to eat that turkey in their home. Let me tell you right now, my wife makes the best turkey I've ever tasted.
Second best. Third.
That might be a matter of opinion. Amen. So that's awesome. You know, these traditions that do not contradict the Word of God, there's no problem. But if we have traditions in our life, religiously or otherwise, and we get in the Scriptures, Esau, and they contradict the Word of God, that's not good. In fact, Jesus has five very intense things to say to people who allow their traditions to contradict the Word of God. What does he say? First of all, he says, you nullify the Word of God. When we live by traditions, when they contradict Scriptures, we're nullifying the Word. You're a hypocrite, number two.
Yep.
Number three, you're just giving God lip service. Number four, your heart is far from God. And number five, your worship of God, it's in vain. You might as well not even do it.
Yeah.
That's what it means to be in vain. It's worthless. Guys, this is intense.
Yeah.
Jesus laid out, these were very religious people. They had all these traditions from the Scriptures. He says, no. You're nullifying the Word of God. Now, this Scripture is very important when you're teaching people.
Yeah.
Because you're laying a foundation for a lot of issues you're going to hit.
Yep,
a lot of questions you're going to have. You don't want to get into all of them right here, because again, the studies are going to handle these questions. But you got to get them right now to a point where they're going to understand we are building a foundation to go by the Word of God.
Amen.
Not our feelings, not traditions of men, but the Word of God. When we go by traditions or feelings and it contradicts what the Bible says, Jesus is saying these five things to us. Hear me, Esau? He's saying, you're nullifying the Word of God, Esau. You're a hypocrite. You're giving God lip service. Your heart's far from Him. Your worship's in vain. It means nothing. This is very serious.
Wow.
But we are going to make a decision, Esau, and I'm calling you to a decision, that you're going to go by the Word of God no matter what. No matter what you feel, no matter what mom and dad say, if it's not what the Bible says. You know what I'm talking about? No matter what preacher said growing up, what your friends say, but what the Word of God has to say. Amen?
Amen?
Now, for the quiz on Friday night, you might want to memorize those five things that Jesus had to say. They just might be on the quiz. That's okay. Okay. Now, so don't go by traditions. Worship by traditions would supersede the Word is in vain. 1 Timothy chapter 4. They're right in the Scripture. You'll get them. 1 Timothy chapter 4.
Remember all.
Another very important Scripture here. Very short one, but very important. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. How you guys doing?
Come on.
You all right, Bobby? You haven't read in a while. Maybe you ought to read this one. Slap some water in your face, dude. I know it's been a long day. But Esau is fired up. Come on. Okay. 1 Timothy 4. Reading in verse 16. It says here, watch your life and your doctrine from a distance.
No.
Wait, Chris, that's no distance. Oh, okay. Sir, closely. Right? You got to read along here in the Word. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Well, what an awesome scripture. Esau, Bible says too, you got to watch your life and your doctrine closely. They are inseparable. Esau, what do you think here? What's more important, life or doctrine? Which one? Oh, gee, I'm not sure. I think they're both important. Well, yeah. What if you go on an airplane, right? You're going to fly home. Where are you from? Nebraska? Okay, great. Esau from Nebraska. Anyway, so you're flying home to Nebraska, and you're on an airplane. What's more important, the left wing or the right wing? I think I want both of them fastened on really good. And that's life and doctrine.
Yep.
Right? You cannot separate the two. You've got to watch them both very, very closely. Now, why is it so important to learn and to teach and to live the right doctrine, Esau? Well, it says right here, so you can save yourself and your hearers.
Amen.
That's exactly right. See, God wants you to make it, and He wants the people you're going to tell the truth to make it.
Yep.
So you got to watch these things closely. Now, Esau, what if your life is just like everyone else around you? You think you're going to be saved? Well, no, I guess not. Yeah, you're just living life like anybody else? That's not good. Now, what if you're just living life like everybody else, but you're preaching to someone they ought to be living by God's standard? You think they're going to listen to you? No. You got to watch your life. You got to live differently for your own sake. And so when you preach to others, they're going to listen to you.
Yeah.
What about doctrine? If you don't have the right doctrine, you don't know the right teaching, are you going to be okay? No. And what if you teach others? Are they going to be okay? No. Now, I think back when I was a teenager in Texas, and I had grown up going to one church. And then when I was a teen, I started going with my friends to another church. Now, I don't want to get into all doctrine here. We're going to study that later. But basically, just for the sake of this class tonight, I was taught all I had to do to be right with God was to say a little prayer, ask Jesus into my heart, and I was good to go. I did that. I remember when I did it. And I left there thinking, wow, I prayed, I'm good to go. But my life didn't change. The sins I was involved in, I stayed involved in. But I began to meet with a group of people and teach others to do this too. And I remember one time I went to the park, this in the Civic Center in my hometown, and we brought a group of people together, and this one guy who was a major thug, right, in the school, he was going to get saved, right? He was going to pray this prayer. And there was this little bridge that went over this ravine to a couple other picnic tables. So we'd all sit over here, but then when he was going to get saved, they'd walk him over the bridge. And he'd pray this prayer, and he'd come back over the bridge to be saved. Okay? And I remember him walking across the bridge, and just looking back like, but snickering about what we're doing. So insecure, and others, but we all believe that he got saved that day. Didn't make any sense, guys.
Yeah.
His life didn't change at all. It's not what the Scriptures teach.
Right.
So if you don't have the right doctrine, it ain't going to save you. And it's not going to save your hearers either.
Right.
You guys with me?
Yeah.
Take a look over at Acts 17. In the home stretch here.
Come on, bro.
We need to understand how important it is, our life and our doctrine. Acts 17, starting in verse 10. Now, Esau, we read this in our last study. You remember it, right? I think so. Yeah. Okay, good. Well, let's read together right here in verse 10. It says here, as soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. Now, we talked about this last time. You remember? We talked about how important it is when you see the scriptures, and I teach you scriptures, that you go home and you study over them again. And you study it every day to see if what we're teaching you is true. Now, Esau, we challenge all the members of our church to bring Bibles to every time we have church. To bring a notepad, to take notes. It's not just busy work. It's very important that we take down notes and we go study it for ourselves so we have deep conviction. We're not just trying to keep you busy. The homework. No, this is for your soul. This is your doctrine right here. And as well-intentioned as the speakers are in our church that we're going to have, as well-intentioned as I may be, that doesn't mean everything I say is truth. Or any other speaker that gets up here. So, if they were checking out Paul to make sure he told the truth, you need to check me out.
Yeah.
Right? Who am I?
Right.
Same thing with the preachers growing up. You grew up with. I grew up going to church, you saw. Listening to guys. But when I studied the Bible, I was like, that's not what they were saying when I was growing up. Mm. And what do you trust? The guy or God?
Yeah. Come on.
You got to trust the scriptures.
Right.
Come on. And we always say this, and I'll repeat it again here, that if you take these notes home, and you study over them, and you find out that what I've told you is not true, it's just my opinion, then you wad it up and you throw it away. But if it is what the Bible's saying, it's not the word of Chris, it's not the word of Bobby, right? What is it? The word of God.
Amen.
So scriptures we're studying tonight, guys, if it's just Seth's word, right? Get rid of it. If it's my word, get rid of it. But if it's God's word, how ought we look at this book? How ought we pay attention? If it is truly the God of the universe speaking to us through His written word.
Yep.
Very important. Now,
yep. Come on.
I need to go ahead and do a little discipling here, Esau. And I need to ask you a question. Last time you said, hey, I want to be noble. I want to eagerly examine the scriptures every day. Let me ask you, Esau. Have you been studying the scriptures every day to make sure it's true? Well, you know, I looked over those notes you gave me on Tuesday. No. That's not what we talked about last time, Esau. You haven't been studying every day. Well, no, I haven't. How come? Well, you know, that first day I set my alarm, but it didn't go off. And then the second day it went off, but I was really tired. I just couldn't get up. And then today I was going to get up early and study, but it was Sunday. I figured I'd just come and get fed from the Bible at church.
Come on, bro.
Now, I hope that's not the way anybody here tonight has been treating their quiet time.
Come on, bro.
We got to be serious, guys.
That's right.
We can't go on our own strength, our own thinking, our own opinions. We got to set that alarm, be disciplined. We got to get up and get in the Word.
Amen.
It's very important. And so, you need to dig in here and not wait for the end of the study to challenge Esau. You need to get in there and go, Esau, I want to challenge you to read it every day. You need to get disciplined in your life. Now, this little bit of challenge, it will change his life. Just a little bit of help. If he makes a decision to get serious about the Word of God, let me tell you, it'll make a big difference every single day for him. But you got to get in there and be willing to go ahead and challenge him. You guys with me?
Yeah.
And you're not going to be able to challenge him if you're not feeling great about your time with God. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So, one more point here, Esau, is that God made it in such a way that no one's going to enter the kingdom of God unless they humble themselves to another person and let somebody else teach them. Okay? That's what I was just doing with you. I was challenging you, pointing you toward God, pointing you toward the scriptures. But the only way to get to God, that's how He made it, is for us to humble ourselves to another human being, teach us the scriptures. You guys with me on that?
Yeah, man.
That's pretty cool, huh?
Come on, bro.
We can't do it on our own. So, amen. If he'll get up, if he'll get serious, he will have a victorious life and he'll be really fired up. James chapter 1.
Come on, bro.
You guys all right?
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
James chapter 1. Next to last scripture here. I love this scripture. Verse 22. Okay. Here we go. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves.
Yep.
Do what it says.
Amen.
Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does.
Amen.
This is an awesome scripture. I don't know about you guys. I don't know how well you get up in the morning when that alarm clock goes off. Maybe some of you are so disciplined, you get to bed right on time. So when the alarm, you pop up. And I got two kids. One's 7 and one's 10. I won't tell you which one, but one of them, they pop up really good. The other one, ooh, it's a battle. Dragging them out of bed. They're like unconscious for the first few minutes. Maybe that's you. However it is, you get up in the morning and at some way you arrive before the mirror.
Come on.
And you take a look.
It ain't pretty.
It's rough, bro.
Anybody feel like it's awesome first thing? Maybe you're blessed, but a lot of times you look in the mirror first thing, you're like, ooh, I got some work to do. Right? Some of you still have hair, and when you look in the mirror, it's all messed up.
Yeah.
And maybe you still got a little broccoli stuck in that place from last night, like up in there. Because you didn't use your toothbrush. So it wasn't useful last night, so there's broccoli hanging up in his little shoes in there too. And your face, it just feels grimy, you know, the hair wasn't on right. So just nasty.
Yeah.
Now what if you looked in the mirror and you saw all that, and you didn't shave, guys, right?
Right.
You go, all right, I'm ready to go to work. You don't change anything. Is that what you do?
Come on, Anthony.
Oh, Esau. Is that what you do, Esau? Well, no, that would be crazy. Guys, it's just as crazy to get up in the morning, get in the Word for your quiet time, read through it, see the spiritual mirror, see there's some things that are messed up, right? Every morning, you got to get yourself fixed up spiritually. Just like physically. You don't just wake up good to go spiritually. You got to get in the Word and you got to make some decisions about what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Like, do I shave today? Do I? Oh, yeah, I better. Right? Should I brush that? Say, yeah. Should I clip the nose here? Okay, I'm bad. Better clip them. And you make some decisions or nothing changes. You with me?
Yeah.
Spiritually, if we don't make decisions, guys, that's what you look like. That's what we go out in the world. Now, guys, people in the world that don't know any better, they won't see any difference. Right? If you go outside and you're not prepared to love people, you can get ticked off and start screaming at someone first thing, cut you off. Somebody in the world will say, well, that's just normal. But to a spiritual eye, they'll go, man, that's wrong.
That's right. That's right. Come on, bro.
That's not Christ.
That's right.
That's not Jesus. We're supposed to get in the spiritual mirror. Anyone that looks in the mirror, sees, and walks away, and doesn't do what it says, is like someone that just looked in the mirror and didn't do anything physically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Esau, you see this? Like, wow, I've never seen it like this before. And most people that are just churchgoers, they don't see it like this. Mm-hmm. That's why they don't even think, I need to read my Bible in the morning. Because they think somehow you wake up and you're good to go spiritually. No. You got to get in the mirror. You with me, guys?
Yeah.
You open up, and the mirror, it'll show you right where you are spiritually.
Come on, bro.
Because you're not comparing yourself to your neighbor or your next door or your spouse. You compare yourself to God Almighty.
Yep. Amen.
And His Word. Amen. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you feel like you got a lot of work to do. But you got to make some decisions and get about it. Now, as you're leading this study, don't worry if you don't make every point, every sub-point. There is plenty in this study. If you mess up, if you miss a point here, sub-point there, there is so much in here to keep this non-Christian going for a long time if they go home and study it, if they really take to it as the Word of God. So don't worry. Just keep it going. Let's go to John 12. That's our last scripture.
Come on, bro.
John chapter 12, verse 48. And Esau, this is going to answer the question for you. Why do we study the Bible? Right here. John 12, all the way in verse 48. It says here, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. This is Jesus speaking, Esau. The very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. Okay? Everything we've read in the study so far, Esau, to prepare you to read this. We are going to face God at the end of our life. What's the judge going to be, Esau, when we face God? Well, it'll be God. Well, no, not exactly. So I want you to read the scripture again. What does it say? Well, it'd be Jesus. No, no, go ahead and read it. There is a judge who is going to set me the very, that very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day.
Wow.
What's going to be the judge at the last day? The Word of God.
Yep.
See, Esau, the reason I want you to know this, the reason I want you to get in here and study this, is because this will be your judge at the last day. Remember earlier we read everything's going to be uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account? We're going to give an account for our lives, guys. Every one of us, right, Bobby? Right! Amen, Bobby. It's awesome. It's good. Right? This is going to be the judge.
Yeah.
Right here. Now, I don't know how you're feeling about this, Esau, but let me say this. A lot of people might hear this and think, that's not fair.
Come on, bro.
And maybe they won't verbalize it. You need to help them. But how do you feel about this here? Maybe it seems unfair or radical that there'll be this judge. And you've got to help people understand. No, really, God is very generous and very gracious. Mm-hmm. Right? That He gave us His Word ahead of time. He doesn't want us to not know. In fact, maybe you've heard this analogy before about the Bible. I think it's an acronym when the letters spell something. Am I right on that one? B-I-B-L-E, is that an acronym?
Acronym.
What? Am I correct? Okay, well.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I'm going to say. But B-I-B-L-E, and it's, okay, maybe you're right. Whatever it is, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. You ever heard that before?
No.
Now that's not Bible, that's just whatever she said. But that's what this is. These are your instructions. This is what you need to know. Now, imagine this. Imagine you're a college student, Esau. Some of you can imagine. And you got this course you get to take. Right? Some chemistry course, right? Real fun one. And you go in there and you take this course all year long. And then it comes time for what there always is, what's it called? A final exam. And you go in and you sit down and they pass the test out and you sign your name at the top and you date it and then you start looking over the questions and, well, you don't know any of the answers. So while everyone else is taking their test, you go up to the front and you say to your teacher, you know, teacher, you're awesome. I have really enjoyed this class.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, of all my teachers, you're my favorite. Absolute favorite. But you know, I just got to say, I didn't get all the questions correct on the test. Just, well, let me see the test. Hand it to your teacher, right? So they look at it and they realize, well, Esau, all you did was sign your name at the top. That's it. Well, yeah, I didn't get them all. Right. But teacher, look, I've got a really rough life. You don't understand. Right? I have to work. Right? I work over at the Best Buy. Right? And I go to school. You know, and, you know, I'm really involved in my church. In fact, I volunteer and I lead. Okay, this is getting too specific. But you know, they're all in, you know. And besides, you know, my roommates are really demanding too. I mean, I have a lot of work around me. You know, what's your teacher going to say? See you next semester. One more time. You're not going to make it. And we understand this on a human level.
Right.
But we don't think it's fair for God to actually expect us to open up the textbook and learn it. You know, God is so amazing. It's like a teacher who goes ahead and gives you the final exam in advance. God doesn't want us to not know the answers. It's like this equipping class. I'm not trying to ask you questions to stump you. I want you to know exactly what's going to be on the test so that you can learn it. So that you can do awesome.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's what God wants. In fact, it's an open book test. But you actually have to open the book.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
And then you have to obey the book.
That's right.
You with me, guys?
No.
That's the heart of God, Esau. He just wants you to make it. But let me ask you again. Are you going to make the Word of God your standard? Not your feelings. Not your traditions. Not your interpretations. You know, one day, you're going to face God. Right? Okay, Esau, come on down. You're the next contestant. Right? On your God is right. Amen? And you come on down, and somehow there's a TV or something, and your whole life is uncovered and laid bare. And what are you going to say, Esau? You're going to say, but God, I really felt like I was living life right. Well, God may not even say a word. He may just flip over to John 8. Remember, it's not about your feelings. It's not enough to believe. You got to obey. But I interpreted that to mean 2 Peter. No interpretation. But my family's traditions were. Where you go?
Matthew.
Yeah. See, this is going to be our judge. On the last day.
Come on.
Is with me?
Yeah.
And he saw, I want you to do awesome, but you got to make a decision. You're going to repent. You're going to start studying it every day eagerly. See if it's true. And you're not just going to read it, but you're going to apply it to your life.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, you're going to end with a prayer, just like you began with a prayer. And I just want to encourage you guys, those of you who are here and your spouse isn't, make sure you get them the notes, you study with them, because there'll be another quiz this coming Friday night. Amen. When we do the kingdom study. And what's the best way to learn this study?
Do it.
Go out and teach it to a friend.
Yep.
That's exactly right. During the next couple of days, try to teach the word study to somebody else.